Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
It's good to be with you tonight. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be together in the presence of God. Let me start my timer. We worship for about 45 minutes tonight. It's not long. It's really not that long. I love what God's doing with us. He's got us on a journey together, and we're feeling a bit of acceleration at the moment. And don't you think the worship team hosted that time very well? Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. They really, really did. A little out of hand there in the front myself. We're on an incredible journey together. I know we're doing a series now out of 1 Peter called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. But as a church, as a local body, we are moving forward. We are living in and moving forward into our destiny. Now is where God wants us to be, and He wants us to grow in Him. And He's got us on, wow, what a journey. Yeah? And we're learning together. We are. I've seen it in my life, and I'm seeing it in the lives of those around. We are learning together on this journey. But I've noted something. There's an acceleration. There's an acceleration in our learning. God is teaching us more and more. Even what just took place a couple of minutes ago was a learning time. We are learning to be free in the Spirit. Learning to no longer be constrained by our way of thinking of what a worship set should look like. Man, we sang the psalm. Was it Psalms? Wow. Wow. God's doing some incredible stuff. And let's see how tonight goes. I asked God, I was praying, I said, can we get a little bit wild tonight, please? I want to. That's what I want. I've grown up in church, and I've seen some wild things in church, and I've seen boring church as well, and boring church sucks. Boring church is not going to change this world. We carry something. We are of another place. Oh, jumping here. Exodus 33. I know we are. This is as way of introduction to you. Part of our learning. I just want us to look at Exodus 33. Moses is speaking to God around verse 12. Verse 13. Okay. So Moses is speaking to God. He says, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order that I may find favor in your sight. So Moses' cry, God, show me your ways. Show me how you do things, because I want to know you and find favor in your sight. God's teaching us. He's teaching us His ways. And as He teaches us His ways, we get to know Him. And as we know Him, He starts to move amongst us. We find favor in His sight. The world starts to look a bit different. And I love God's response to him. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I'm a man that wants to be arrested by the presence of God. More and more I realize, if I come and I serve you clever words, which I can trust you I don't really have, due to my education or my lack of ambition in education, if I serve you clever words and you walk out of here, I have robbed you. But if we together are in the presence of God, there is no way that we can leave here unchanged. And I ask you guys to close your eyes. Just right now, close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge your presence. We honor you as the one who changes us, who molds us, who shapes us to be more like Christ. We acknowledge you. Sometimes you can sense the presence of God. He's given us our five senses in order to be able to sense his presence. It's not just to be able to live on earth, to be able to recognize him, because he is the most important thing to recognize. So some of you might feel it in your hands, a warm sensation. You might feel a peace, an incredible peace. If you feel something of the presence of God on you right now, will you just raise your hands? Let's start asking God, would you increase? Holy Spirit, would you increase? Show us your ways that we may know you. We want to know you, Holy Spirit, more as a friend, as our God. There is nothing greater than to be with you. Would you increase right now, God? This is not psychology. This is not a way of tricking people by telling them what they're going to feel. This is the reality of the kingdom that we live in, that God presences himself with his people. And in your presence there is fullness of joy. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. Freedom and liberty. We honor you, Holy Spirit. Oh. All right, I won't be long. But I've got a couple of things to share with you. And I'm learning. Gabriel's learning. We're learning. As a church together, as a family, we're learning how to do this. How to do life together. How to administrate what God is doing together. I don't have it waxed. I don't come from a place of all knowledge. I know the one with all knowledge. And if I say something clever, it's God. But be aware that God is speaking. He can use anyone at any time. Again, God, I honor your presence, Holy Spirit. God is doing some wild stuff amongst us. And we've got some burning hearts, burning more and more for this world to look different. That we would see what we read in the Word of God to be our starting point. Where lives are changed because they've encountered God, the one true God. If you'll turn with me to Peter, just 1 Peter. Put your fingers in there. I want to share three testimonies. And there's a reason I'm sharing them with you, and hopefully we'll see that reason later. But just three quick testimonies from my life of what God's done. First of all, this afternoon, you can ask my wife. We were walking in Pick and Pay, and all of a sudden I started to limp. My ankle was so sore. Happens sometimes in these shoes, and I don't know what it was, maybe a missed worship move this morning or something. I weighed myself. I'm 82, so that's 40 and a half each foot. We should be able to do it. But anyway, I was limping. I was like, what's wrong with you? Oh, my ankle's sore. Ankle's sore. Anyway, got home, prepping. Then I went to go get ready after prep, and I got out of the bed because I was prepping under the duvet. And paining. I'm walking down the passage. I took three steps and was sore. And I just said, ankle, be strong. Fine. Absolutely fine. And I was like, wow. Tell my wife, sometimes God does stuff and it just seems natural because it's so easy for him and it's so simple. He healed my ankle this afternoon. It's not sore anymore. Does anyone have a sore ankle here tonight? Does anyone have a sore ankle? Batis, left one. Left ankle. Cool. Is it sore right now? Is it? Wiggle it around. Do something that you couldn't do before. Is it still sore? Is it? You can be honest. I mean, I'm learning here. Still sore. Okay, cool. Kyle, will you just pray for Batis? God, we release... Is this okay, okay? Cool. God, we release healing. And we say to the ankle, be strong. Be strong. Check it out. Check it out. Is it still sore? Still sore? Okay, now I'll leave it to Carl. Carl, you keep praying. I'm not being flippant here. I've been reading, learning how to do this, how to do this. And God is growing us. And I believe in complete healing. I've experienced it. And it turns out it probably was a word of knowledge for Batis. So I believe completely that Batis will be healed tonight. But we'll see later. And if I'm wrong, that's fine. But I'm willing to risk. I'm willing to risk. I'm willing to make a fool of myself. I don't have much of a reputation, but I'm willing to put that aside for God's kingdom to move. Cool. Second one, I have a rash. I had a rash. My wife was worried about me. On my arm, I got this weird rash. Dean rash. And it was raised about a mil, and it was there for a long time. A long time. In fact, I started to get some more across my back, got on my ankle, and my wife was like, please go to the doctor. If it's not better, please go to the doctor. But anyway, every time I'd shower, you know, I'd be confronted with it, and I'd pray, and I'd say, God, heal this. God, would you heal this? And one day, I felt him say, put your face wash on. Put your face wash on, and don't wash it with your normal soap. So I started to do that. Every time I'd shower, consistently for quite a while, maybe 2-3 weeks, I'd miss it, and wash my face, put face wash on, and gone. Gone. It was big and red. You can still see a little bit of the mark, but God calls us to be obedient. Yeah. Obedient beyond our reason and our logic. Yeah. He has things in store for you that once you go past, God, it's why would that, why? Why would that do anything? But we respond in faith, in obedience to God. He works way better than we can even think. Third testimony. This one's a bit longer. Yeah, speed it up. I was delivered. I've been delivered from fear of man that I didn't even know I battled with. It was just before youth camp. Cindy went off to life group. And I stayed behind and I started to pray in tongues in order to prep for youth camp, you know, get the word for the young guys, change their lives. As I was praying, I started to feel nauseous. And it would come and go. And I was just praying in tongues, unpack the dishwasher, praying in tongues. And it would come and go. And I felt myself being led to pray more earnestly. So I did. Eventually, it got serious. And I found myself saying, God, if there is anything in me, I want it out. Shortly afterwards, I found myself praying in the Spirit, then saying, I command the fear of man to leave. At this point, the nausea got quite serious, and I thought, let me go from my lounge, where my carpet is, to the bathroom. So it's safer there. Don't know what's going to take place. As I prayed more earnestly in tongues, I actually started to convulse and throw up. Nothing came out, but it was full. It happened about 6 or 7 times, and it would happen, and then I'd say, I command the fear of man to leave in the name of Jesus, and then I'd pray in tongues, and it must have sounded a hoot to anyone outside our bathroom. It was messy. afterwards I went to the couch and to spend time in the presence of God. I had not realized how the fear of man had hindered my life. That Friday night, Cindy and I were going to get together and speak about our dreams, about our future, about what God is, this thing that he shared earlier in worship, that he's bringing dreams up again. And from the Thursday even, because it happened Wednesday night, from the Thursday, I was able to pray and speak to my wife with absolute unabandon. I realized that previously I'd get the thought, I want to share this with her, and I'd shy away. It was sneaky. It is sneaky, but it can't hide from God. It cannot. And in his mercy and his grace, he saw fit to deliver me. And now, our relationship is even better than it was, and I had no idea there was anything there. And I share that because God is going to free people from fear. For too long, it's been sneaky and hiding in our lives, and we haven't even been aware of it. And God is bringing freedom to his people because of the journey he's got us on and where he's taking us to. It's going to require us to kick fear in the teeth and continue on the path that he has for us. God is good. How's the ankle? A little bit better. Awesome. Cool. Thank you, God, that it's a little bit better. More, God. Complete. My ankle is fine. Complete healing, God. Okay, 1 Peter. Sorry, it's a bit disjointed tonight, but that's cool. Okay. 1 Peter verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Incredible. All scripture is incredible because the Holy Spirit, when he makes it alive, man, it really is alive. But I just want to focus on 3 points out of that very quickly. Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. We can very quickly skip over that. Are you born again? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. born again, probably more the happy clappies use that term, huh? The reality is, when Christ died on the cross and when he rose again, he created a new humanity. You are a new creation. Say that. I am a new creation. Good slides, eh? Less is more. You are a new creation in Christ. You're not someone who has come into a self-help, get better at my character group. No. You are a new creation. You are actually something new. If you meet someone who is not saved, you are not the same. You are not the same. You are a new creation. You are a son of the living God. You are a daughter of the living God. The old has died. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. The life I live now, I live through something Christ. Andrew, I'll drop that one. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. We need to stop thinking of ourselves. Paul actually says it. He kind of admonishes the Corinthians. He says, you guys are thinking like mere men. We're not better than people. Don't hear what I'm not saying. We're not like better. but we'd better. Do you know what I mean? We're not in pride. We're not better than other people. We are a new creation. When we start to get this, oh my goodness, our lives change. Why? Here's a handle. I don't often give handles in my preach, but here's one for you to handle. Okay. Tyler was here, I'd explain what a handle is, but I'm not going to. Something you can take and use. I used to think there was a bad Dean inside. I've made a commitment to God, but there was still the flesh, the bad Dean. And every now and again, the bad Dean, well, more than now and again, quite often actually. Maybe it was more like the good Dean trying to come out. And we think, like, I used to think, I'm fighting this battle inside, and this bad Dean wants me to sin, and he's coming out, and he wants me to look at that TV channel, or this or that, or... The bad Dean is dead. I'm not fighting an internal force. It's not good and evil. There's no good and evil fight within me. I am a new creation. I am a son of God. I need to change the way I think. I need to renew my mind. Sin has lost its power.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks, Quentin. I'd prefer something more like doo-doo-doo, but... It's a lot. We need to remind ourselves about this often. We need to remind others often that you are not who you used to be. You are a new creation. Start thinking like you are a new creation. Why? Because you are a new creation. You know, when I got married, it was like, I don't feel different, but I'm different. When you get your driver's license, you don't like feel different. But you've got access to things you never had access to before. We are too led by this. These. We are too led by this. God, would you give us eyes to see? Give us understanding. We are new in you, God. Okay. He goes on to say, we have been born again, so we are a new creation, to what? To a living hope. A living hope. Not just, you're not just made new, you are made new, even like 2A, there's movement in that. I don't know what you'd call that in English, but there's movement towards it. To a living hope. We are not called to, again, moral law. Come, just be better people. Let's get your character, you know, and then we'll all live nicer together, you know. Give the guy at the robots $5 every now and again, you know, kind of be better. No, we are called to a living hope. And hope, I've heard it defined as an eager expectation of good. An eager expectation of good. If you are just like, it's my life and I'm not a very good new creation and there's so much going on and I pray that God would give you a revelation of what you've been saved into. A living hope. How's this world going to change? I'll tell you what, sometimes we think like of these spiritual things and we think that some can be a bit out there and so we're born to this kind of new mission. There we go. A living hope, our new mission. So God saves us, creates us new, gives us a new mission that we're on. And I'll tell you what your old mission was. In Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. This was your old mission, whether you like it or not. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. People who do not know God, and if you're here tonight, I pray that you hear the Spirit calling you. But it's not, there's no middle ground. There's no, I don't believe in that and I don't believe in that, so I'll just be a man. It's either that or it's this. God has called us to a living hope. What do you guys think about the end of the world? I mean, growing up in church, it can seem pretty bleak. No, the end times, you think, oh, it's going to get bad. It's going to get real bad. I'm going to build myself a bunker and buy a lot of canned food. I'll be safe. Like the father in Spud who does his house. It goes a little crazy. It's a 94. Matthew 28. You know the Great Commission. Go into all the world, making disciples of all nations. Jesus didn't say, go out, save as many as you can before the end, because it's going to get really bad. Go out, just try to save as many, you know, before it comes. Save as many, you know. Jesus speaks in victory. He says, go and make disciples of
nations.
Nations. We are not just called to living good moral lives. We are called to disciple nations. We are called to change the face of this earth with the kingdom, the good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus, the one who changes everything. Everything. A living hope, a new mission. I pray, Father, that you give us understanding, revelation of what you have called us into. And then lastly, an inheritance. Just get it in Peter. He says, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. We have new resources. So God makes us new. He's given us a new mission. He's pulled us in. If you know him, you're in the mission. Get busy. And he's given us new resources. It's not stuff we've had to work for. It's an inheritance. We get to share in that inheritance. This inheritance, it's almost like, you know, I often think, why do we not just pray immediately and see complete healing come? It's all there in the account. It's all available. We need to learn to make withdrawals. We need to learn to live in what God has provided for us. There's a learning that takes place. You don't walk into, I see it more and more. Kind of an arrogance of, I know everything. We've got the confidence that I know Christ. But we are sons and daughters that are learning how to live in the inheritance that he has for us. We need to remain teachable. Teachable. It's imperishable. It's unfading. And I just thought around that. Unfading. It's sustained by the power of God. Everything we see with our eyes will fade. That'll rust. That'll lose some bits and pieces. Carpet will get a little messier. Might go a bit more grey, but that's a good thing. This inheritance is sustained by the power of God. It's unfading. It's undefiled. Here we go. This inheritance is undefiled. In the old covenant, you stayed away from things that made you dirty. Lepers. Bell, you got a shout unclean and you live away from us. And if I touch you, of those weird stuff I had to do. If you touch certain animals, if there was dead bodies, it just showed how things could make you dirty. in the new covenant, Jesus approached the lepers. And when he touched them, they were cleaned. Our inheritance is undefiled. Being sustained by the power of God, we are called to go out and take this inheritance to the dirty, and they will be made clean. We are not called to hide in our offices and ignore the people that swear and make loud noises. No, we are called to touch their lives, to bring the inheritance into their lives. It is kept in heaven. That's not a geographical place. How many of you think like heaven is, I just think it's a geographical place somewhere in the atmosphere and reserved for after the last day, then we get to go. Heaven is the realm of God. It exists right now. Right now, Jesus is on a throne. Right now. All of heaven focused. There is so much activity. God is sending angels on missions, on assignment. There's activity, there's life. Even in this room right now, there's activity, there's things going on. It's kept in heaven. We're not learning it's not like a physical thing. It's spiritual. This inheritance that we have. And it's kept in heaven for us. I just think that's incredible. Graham Cook said, God has abundance, the devil has a budget. I've never thought that. Too often we attribute to the devil, we say, he's got so much power. The power. I think he was stripped of that. All. And he only has lies. So don't empower the liar. And God has an abundance. That's why you can pray for an ankle and win. Because even sickness has a limit. Things have a limit, have a budget, but God has abundance. And we are people that are going to take God at His word, whether it affects our reputation or not. Okay, and to land it now. All of this is wrapped up in the love of a Father who sent His Son and the Holy Spirit. And what I've been doing, the prayer of my heart of late has been more and more, I want to know You, Holy Spirit, as a friend. I want to know You as a friend. Because sometimes I can get panicky and think, how am I going to figure out all this learning? How am I going to figure out how to do all this stuff? And I don't really have to figure it out. I just need to be friends with the Holy Spirit, and He'll teach me. He'll guide us. Cool? You are a new creation. You are on a new mission, and you have unlimited new resources. When we close our eyes, can I pray for you guys? We stand. John, I can ask you just to play a little bit on the guitar. I believe God's wanting to do some work tonight. I shared those testimonies for a reason. Because when God's done it once, He wants to do it again. And so we're praying for Baptists now. We believe for full healing. Yep. If anyone here is suffering with any kind of rash, skin disease, anything on your skin right now that shouldn't be there, I want to pray for you.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.